This evening in our study, we look together at, hope to look together at Matthew 5, verses 27 to 30. Matthew 5, verses 27 to 30. It's another section of this study in the Sermon on the Mount that I know that you've been looking at over the past number of weeks. Now remember, in this sermon, Jesus is speaking about the speaking of the kingdom. He preached the good news of the kingdom to the people in chapter 4 and verse 23. And now he teaches what it means to be citizens of the kingdom, to be citizens of the kingdom. Last time you thought together on the verses 21 to spoke about murder and spoke about having something against your brother. And now tonight we turn to this section, which is on the subject of adultery. Adultery. Now, what is adultery? Adultery happens whenever a sexual relationship takes place by a married person with someone other than his or her legal spouse. Adultery takes place whenever a sexual relationship takes place by a married person with someone other than his or her legal spouse. So adultery takes place in the context of marriage. It takes place in the context of a legal marriage. So let's think, first of all, this evening about the ordinance of marriage, to be clear about it. Today there's so much talk about marriage. There is civil marriage, there's gay marriage. There are all types of marriages, it seems, and a constant debate goes on. But let us be absolutely clear as God's people. There is only one marriage. There's only marriages set out very clearly for us in Scripture. Right at the very beginning in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, it says, "A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and the two shall become one." And it's not just a matter of thinking away back in Genesis. The Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 10 and also Matthew chapter 19 reiterated the same words. He said that a man shall leave his father and his mother, be joined unto his wife. So let's be absolutely clear about this at the very start of our study this evening. Marriage is between a man and a woman, not between two men, not between two women. And we need to stand fast as God's people regarding this. It's something that we're being bombarded with in these days. Now, somebody will say, but you're being homophobic or whatever the case is. That's not the case, not in the slightest. And I want you to be absolutely clear about that. Be clear that the Scripture teaches marriage is between a man and a woman. Speak it out and clearly. Speak it out in love. Don't shout or yell at people. Don't force placards into their eyes or into their faces or things like that, but speak it out in love. Be absolutely clear. Don't be deviated from this. We're going to be bombarded with this in the years to come. We must be clear that marriage is between a man and a woman. And it's not homophobic to say that. That is what is right. We treat people who are, say they're gay, treat them in love, but make it clear that marriage is between a man and a woman. So we need to be clear about marriage, first of all. But then, secondly, marriage is destroyed by adultery. Destroyed by adultery. The commandment is very clear. Do not commit adultery. In verse 27, now, why is this commandment given? Why are all the commandments given? It's so important, as trying to say to the boys and girls to know the commandments. Well, you see, the commandments reflect the holiness of God, and they're given in love to his people. They're given for our good. Now, nowadays, people will say, oh, it was far too harsh, all this do, and don't do this and don't do that. Listen, the commandments are given in love for our good, because they're given by a holy God who loves us. The commandments reflect the holiness of God and are given in love to His people. You see, so often people rebel against the commandments and they say, like, why can't I? Sure, it's only a small sin that I'm going to commit, or it's only a small thing, and who will know? And they say that they want to say that, look, you've got to have a wee bit of leniency. You've got to, it's not black and, listen, the commandments are absolutely clear. These commands are given as a code of conduct for a redeemed people. And this is how God requires His people to live. This is how God in love requires those who love Him to live. Now, if you break the commandments, if you steal or if you commit adultery, you covet, well, you're not loving your neighbor as you're meant to love your neighbor. You're meant to love your neighbor as yourself. But if you steal from your neighbor, you don't love your neighbor. If I went out at this moment and stole your car, well, I don't do it out of love. I do it out of greed. I covet it. First of all, you've got a better car than mine, perhaps. I want what you have, and I don't care about you. Like, the person who breaks into your house doesn't care about you. The commandments, you see, are not harsh. They're given in love, that we might love one another, that we might love one another. Now, when it comes down to adultery, you see, if someone commits adultery, what's he doing? Well, he's stealing another man's wife. That's what he's doing. He's stealing another man's wife. You see, whenever you see the wedding ring on a woman's hand, it says right away, it should say to every man absolutely clearly, look, this woman belongs to someone. She belongs to someone. And for anyone other than her husband to have a relationship with her, it is wrong. It is stealing what belongs to him. Stealing what belongs to him. Now, when I speak, of course, of men, this, of course, can apply to women. If you steal another woman's husband, if you're a lady who can steal another woman's husband, well, you do the same thing. You commit adultery. So whenever we commit adultery, we're stealing the harm we do, stealing what belongs to someone else. So adultery is very clearly wrong. But in verse 27, Jesus goes on to speak then about the adultery of the heart, the adultery of the heart. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Notice it's not just looking now, it's not looking. Looking by itself is not evil. You could look at a bride coming into the meeting house on her wedding day, and you can admire her, and you know that she's lovely, and you can say that she's lovely, but that's not what's meant here. That's not what's meant here. It is the intention, you see, to lust after that person, to lust after that woman. And there's nothing innocent about such a look as that. Nothing innocent at all. The desire of the heart is to have that person. And that is committing adultery in the heart. Now, the best way to illustrate this, of course, is to get the most graphic example, of course, in the Scriptures, which is in 2 Samuel chapter 11, David. Do you remember the story? David had been blessed by God. He had been given victory over his enemies. He had lots of wives. Things were going well for David. But in the spring of the year, whenever he should have been away out to fight with his army, he didn't go. And on the roof of his palace, he looked out and he saw a beautiful woman. She was washing herself. And he looked. Now, what should David have done? Well, he should have turned away immediately. He should have gone into his palace. He should have gone about his proper business. He should have gone out to the army and did the job that he was meant to be doing. But he looked, and then he wanted another man's wife. And you know what happened? After the look, he took her, and then he had to kill her husband, Uriah. He ended up killing her husband. But in verse 27 of 2 Samuel 11, it says, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And that's what we've got to remember. God had said, you shall not commit adultery. And David looked and he took and he killed. He committed adultery and then he committed murder. And it all started with a look. A look. A lustful look. A lustful look. Now many people might have looks like this, lustful looks, and they don't end up in murder, they would say. They might keep it to themselves, but it's still sin in their hearts. And we need to be clear about that. What should David have done? Well, there's another example in Scripture to show exactly what he should have done. It's found in Genesis chapter 39, where Joseph was the slave and he was in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar left him there, and he was alone with Potiphar's wife, and she wanted Joseph. But Joseph would have none of it. And this is the point. Joseph would have none of it. And we're told he ran out of the house. He ran away and he left his coat behind. She was holding on to his cloak. She blamed him afterwards, of course, but he did nothing wrong. He did what was right. He ran. You see, David didn't run away. David ran towards sin. Joseph ran away. Adultery of the heart. You know, men and women, whenever we enter into that, we play with fire. We play indeed with what is false and evil. Adultery of the heart. How can we guard against such actions as God's people? How can we guard against such actions? Jesus tells us here in the rest of these verses, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. How can we guard against such actions? Well, we need to take drastic action to avoid temptation. And this is what Jesus means, drastic action. And there are a number of things that I want to say about this. First of all, understand that all is known unto God. Whenever David looked and then he took Bathsheba, he should have known that God saw exactly what he was doing. And if you're tempted to go after somebody else's wife, then be sure God knows exactly what you're doing. Remember, it is known unto God. That terrible advertisement, remember that our organization that advertised in America before Christmas where it said, life is short, and the woman put her finger up and said, have an affair. Dreadful, absolutely dreadful. Thought no one would ever know, but then somebody hacked into the computer system and they found out all the names. But even more so, it's known unto God. Luke chapter 8, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be brought into the open. All will be made known. Oh, every day, Christian, do you pray for guidance each day? Do you pray that the Holy Spirit would guide you whenever you go into your work, whenever you go into situations where you know that perhaps or things will be said or insinuations might be made? Well, if you pray for guidance, then be assured that the Holy Spirit will quicken your conscience whenever you come into those situations, and He will guide you and He will warn you so that you'll hate what is wrong and you'll immediately want to turn away from what is false. Be aware that God knows what's happening. But then secondly, refuse to entertain those sinful thoughts. Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Think upon these things. We should not let sinful thoughts dwell within us, because if we do, then they'll gradually take a deeper and deeper root. It's like the garden situation. If you let the weeds grow deeper and deeper, they're harder to get out. We have got to be clear about that. Do not entertain. Whatever is pure, think about what is pure. Let's remember, a man thinks in his heart, so he is. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. You see, we all think before we act. David thought before he acted. David looked out and he thought, oh, a beautiful woman and I want her. He thought. But we're foolish if we jump into the deep end without any thought of the consequences. When we think, then we will pursue the path. What we think, we will, then we pursue the path in our minds. Paul spoke in Romans chapter 1 about their thinking becoming futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Their thinking became futile. You know, one of the saddest things to hear somebody saying after they maybe are caught doing something they shouldn't be doing, caught by the police or caught in something like this that we're talking about this evening. And the person will say, I don't know what I was thinking about. Did you ever hear people say that? I don't know what I was thinking about. I don't know what came over me. Well, I'll tell you what came over them. They began to think evil thoughts. They began to turn their thoughts away from the commandments of God, and they went their own way, and they pushed God out of their thinking. That's what came over them. They say, I don't know what came over me. But that's what came over them. The devil had his way in their hearts. And Paul said in Philippians 4, whatever is true, think about these things. Think about these things. So thirdly, how can we guard again against these actions? Well, we need to feed upon God's word. Feed upon God's word. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. And listen especially to young men. Go home and read the second part of Psalm 19, verses 8 to 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? Answer me, young men. How can a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed to God's word, by living according to His word. A young man or young woman, you're buffeted by all sorts of temptations in these days. I know that. Maybe you go into school or go into college and you find your friends talking about their boyfriends and their girlfriends, and they go and they spend a night with them or whatever the case might be, or have a one-night stand and all the rest of it. And they say, sure, everyone is at it. Well, let me tell you, young people, everyone is not at it. And if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be at it. Saturate your mind with the Word of God, and He will keep you from evil. Saturate your mind with the Word of God. Hide His Word in your heart that you might not sin against Him. Know God's Word, young people and older people. Know God's Word. How can we guard against such actions? Fourthly, avoid places of temptation and evil attractions. Avoid places of temptation and evil attractions. Ask yourself, will I be helped in my Christian life or in my walk if I go there? Will I be helped? When you think of what's going on there, will I be helped spiritually? Proverbs 5 warns again the young man. It tells us in verse 3, for the lips of an adulteress drips honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she's as bitter as gall, sharp as any double-edged sword. And then it goes on to say, listen to me, young people, keep a path away from her. Do not go near the door of her house. That's Proverbs 5 and verse 8. The wisest man in the world said that. Keep away from her door. Do not go near her house. So ask yourself before you go to some place, will this place be beneficial for me? Will it help me spiritually? When I was in the children's choir 55 years ago or something like that, I sang a verse on my own. And I still remember it. It was a good verse. Shun evil companions, bad language disdain, God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Shun evil companions. Is that not a good warning for all of God's people? Now somebody will foolishly say, but I can look after myself. Listen, that's nonsense. The hymn writer said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Prone to wander. Oh, you can wander away so easily. Take my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. Prone to wander. It's so easy to wander. Avoid places of temptation. How can we guard against such actions as this? Well, seek to know more of God's love, finally. Why does a man or a woman leave his or her marriage partner? Now, you'll be dealing with this next week, God willing. You hear the reasons. Because we're no longer compatible, some people will say. We don't get on any longer. We no longer love each other. Love is gone. I now love somebody else. Let me tell you, the person who says that knows really nothing about love. What they're speaking really is about lust. They're speaking about is lust, not love. Love is about giving to each other. Love is about caring for each other, being responsible for each other. God so loved, what did He do? He gave His only begotten Son. And we are to love one another. 1 John chapter 4, it says, dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's so clear in Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Seek to know more of God's love. That's what we're told here. He says, pluck out your right eye, cut off your hand. These are what we should do to avoid the adultery. Now I know that many in these days will laugh at this commandment. We read of people who are married and divorced 4, 5, even 9 times. I read this past week. 9 times. But if you love the Lord Jesus, this must not be. It cannot, should not be. It must not be. And so I want to leave you, and especially speaking to the men here this evening, to the men. Ladies, you, it's applicable to you as well, but I want to leave it especially with the men. In Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15, it tells us very clear, do not break faith with the wife of your youth. Let me say it again. Maybe you've been married 10 years. Maybe you've been married 20 years. Do not break faith with the wife of your youth. Do not break faith with the wife of your youth. Malachi 2 and verse 15. Do not look to anyone else. Look to the one that you were joined together with all those years before. And may your love for each other deepen as the years pass by. And may God be glorified in your marriage. Do not commit adultery. Do not commit adultery. Do not break faith with the wife of your youth. Let us pray. Our gracious and eternal God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's so clear. And we do pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember. Especially, Lord, we pray for those married couples here this evening, those all who are married, that every husband would not break faith with the wife of his youth, that every wife would indeed love her husband and respect her husband. Lord, may your people show to the world around the beauty of Christian marriage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.